Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's David Smith.
All right, so welcome back to another episode of Illinois Family Spotlight. I am your host, David Smith, and today I am joined by a wonderful Christian man that I've known for a while. He is a husband, father, and the pastor of Grace Redeemer Church in Winfield, Illinois. Did I get that right, Pastor?
Yeah, you got it.
All right. So to begin with, we're going to be talking about Senate Bill 3572, a bill that would abolish abortion in Illinois, which is well overdue. But before I do that, I would like a little background from you, Michael.
Yeah, well, thanks, Dave. Married for 22 years, and we have been blessed with 5 children. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
So thankful for them. And yeah, I have the joy of privileging here at Grace Redeemer Church in Winfield. Been here for the last couple years, went through a beautiful merger. And before that, pastoring for several years, the church before that, about 14 years. So thankful for that.
Yeah. And where's your website? Where can people find you?
Sure. Yeah. You can find us at grc1.org. grc1.org. You can check us out there.
And you have been a pro-lifer for a very long time. And I'm really thrilled that you're sharing all this information on social media and get involved. Your church actually hosted a meeting of probably 80 to 100 pastors or church leaders with Pastor Jeff Durbin with End Abortion Now and a couple other good pastors who joined us to try to stir us up and get us involved. I want to ask you, why do you think this is so important in the state of Illinois as pro-lifers are in the super minority?
I think this legislation matters because it gives unborn children the exact same protection under the law that God says every human being deserves. I mean, abortion is still the greatest moral crisis of our time. Every day, the lives of roughly 200 unborn children are being unjustly taken in our state through abortion, tens of thousands every year in our state. And every one of those babies is a person known by God. And God says, rescue those being taken away to death. And we want abortion to end completely, and that's what this bill aims to do. I mean, the Bible tells us, you shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality. And God makes it clear that even the unborn child deserves equal protection in Exodus 21, verses 22 to 24. So in that passage, if a man hits a pregnant woman and there's harm either to the mother or the baby, there's a punishment. But the key point there is that God gives the unborn baby the same rights under the law. And that's what this legislation does. This bill would remove partiality in judgment and give all human beings equal protection under the law. That means that those who would intentionally harm an unborn child could be prosecuted. That's how we're going to end abortion. Now, of course, there are provisions for life-saving procedures when necessary. It doesn't apply to spontaneous miscarriages and so forth, but it does establish impartial justice. That's what God wants. There'd be no exception carved out allowing mothers or doctors to kill unborn babies without any kind of criminal or civil penalty. I mean, women are currently being told by the law that it's okay to kill their babies. That's unjust. Yep. And we want to inform people's conscience with a just law. God's very clear, you shall not murder. That applies to all human beings. It doesn't say, well, you shall not murder except for the first few days or weeks of a person's life. Or you shall not murder unless you're a mom and you don't want to have a baby. Or you shall not murder unless the person is really old or really sick and wants to be murdered. No, it's you shall not murder. It's wrong, period. I think Bradley Pierce puts it this way. It should be illegal for everyone to murder anyone. So Christians should support this legislation because God calls us to protect life impartially. And right now, the unborn are being denied that protection.
You know, the law is a teacher, right?
That's right.
And I talked to a woman yesterday. She's 75 years old. She's had 4 abortions. And she honestly admitted to me, if it were illegal, she would have never had an abortion.
That's the testimony of so many women. So many women who've had abortions said, I wish it was illegal. If it had been illegal, I never would have done it.
The law is a teacher, and we need to establish this and protect both women and the babies. So that is good. So let me just ask you, can you give a word of encouragement to other pastors and Christian leaders of why they should be involved in this
cause? Yeah, sure. I think my encouragement to pastors and leaders would simply be this. Shepherd your people on this issue. Obviously, we need God's people to pray. Nothing's going to happen apart from God working. Of course, our legislators need to hear from people to support this bill, and your voice is instrumental in that. I would ask you to encourage your flock to call their senators and support SB 3572. But what's going to motivate you to mobilize your church behind a bill like this? I would just say this. You're called to shepherd your people, teaching them the whole counsel of God. And this is part of training and equipping them. These truths are clear in God's word, and we have an obligation to help our people think biblically about the issue of abortion and about just laws. I think Luther captured it pretty well, and I'm paraphrasing him here. But if we teach the Bible in every area except where the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, then we're not being faithful. It's where the battle rages that the loyalty of the soldier is proved. If we're steady everywhere else, then it's just flight and disgrace. And I would add this, like you said, one purpose of the law in general is instruction. And this law helps to teach that the unborn from the moment of conception or fertilization is a human life with value that deserves equal protection. I think most people know it's a human life in the womb. That means taking its life is murder. It's wrong. And this would help make that clear. It's like you said, so many women who've had abortions have looked back and said, man, I wish it were illegal because if it were, I wouldn't have done it. And there's another side to this. The only hope that men and women who've been impacted by abortion have, the hope that they need, is found in Jesus Christ. And if we continue to insist that all women are victims, and I know some are, but if we say they're all victims, then we cut them off from the hope of the gospel. Why? Because victims don't need to repent of sin. So really, our people need to hear two truths from us as pastors. They need to be taught abortion is murder, that God demands we defend unborn life, give them equal justice. But they also need to hear that if you've sinned in this way, there's hope of forgiveness and healing in Jesus Christ for those who repent of their sin and turn to him in faith. So if we're going to be faithful as pastors to teach the whole counsel of God, we cannot be silent. So bottom line, I would say this to my fellow pastors, be clear, be faithful, teach the truth, call your people to obedience, and trust God with the results. Let's call our people to pray and support this bill out of love for our neighbors and for the glory of God.
Amen. I love that. So, I mean, really, this is a spiritual battle. There are so many on our side, even on the conservative thinking side, want to think of this as political terms, but this is not political, is this, Michael? This is really a spiritual battle. The devil wants to wipe out every person made in the image of God, and that's every human being.
Yeah, we need to be faithful to address this from God's word. It's right there in the word. And part of our job as pastors is just to faithfully shepherd our people through this.
Thank you, Michael. I couldn't ask for anything better. Thank you for the interview. Thank you for your time.
Well, thanks for having me, Dave. It was a joy to be here.
Need somewhere to belong? Try here. We're socialites. Find us at socialites.blog. We aim to cultivate meaningful friendships and create places for people to come together face to face.
We do weekly group, Bible study groups, swing dancing. We even do bonfires on occasion.
We also connect churches via their YA groups in the Chicagoland area.
We want to be the answer to the question of, where do you even meet people anymore? Come find us at socialites.blog. Check out some of the events we got going or any of the groups that we host regularly.
Socialites.blog.
All right, so welcome back to Illinois Family Spotlight for part two of this episode. I am your host, David Smith, and I am joined now by one of my heroes of the faith, one of the pro-life warriors of all times in Illinois. His name is Pastor Cesar LaFleur, and he is a pastor on the south side of Chicago in Markham, and he is an IFI board member, and he is the field director for public school exit for Illinois. And I haven't even begun to tell you all the other hats he wears. So, Caesar, welcome, and thank you for taking some time out of your very busy schedule. Tell us a little bit about you, your church, your family, your passion for the pro-life issue.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me, Dave. And I'm going to ask to apologize for my voice. As you know, I'm just getting over a bout with pneumonia.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, I am Pastor Caesar LaFleur. I am the pastor of Spirit of Liberty Church of God that's located in Markham, Illinois. And we have two slogans there. First of all, where Jesus is Lord and God is love. That was the one that was there when I came. But now we've added this, the church where worship and works operate together. And so we're a church that believe in worshiping God and teaching the true word of God. But then also we believe that our faith requires actions. And so over the last couple of years, I've been trying to direct my church toward to be a more active, oriented church. We're a very small congregation, but we have faith in a big God. And so we're doing things like opening up a school that we can disciple and raise our children, Liberty Faith Academy. And in this spring, we'll be opening up His Loving Arms Crisis Pregnancy Center.
Amen.
You know, it's been a passion of mine for years to see this kind of Christ-centered ministry go forth in the areas where it's desperately needed. And so we're really thanking God for an opportunity to do that. Been involved in the pro-life movement since God awakened me to this, since back in 1989. And I did have a spiritual awakening about this. And so, you know, when a spiritual awakening happens and God opens your eyes to something that you've been slumbering or sleep about, you can never go back and you can never unsee the things that God has shown you.
Yeah.
And so since 1990, I've been actively growing and expanding in my advocacy for life. I am a man who believes in the sanctity of innocent human life because God believes in it. And so I've spent years working to found the National Black Pro-Life Union with some other great pro-life warriors across the country. Was a longtime board member for the Life Education and Resource Network. And worked with some local giants, Pastor Hiram Crawford Sr.,
that's right.
Dr. Johnny R.C. Tyler, and many others here, and Dave Smith, Illinois Family Institute.
What?
In fact, that's how we came to know each other,
that's right.
is on the pro-life issue, doing things when it comes down to that.
Now, so, some people would say that we're twins, but, you know, I don't know. So
I'm the one who says that all the time.
Yeah. So that is phenomenal. I so appreciate your work, your ministry. Your church has a Facebook page, right? So
they yes,
can
it
find
does.
You. Okay.
They can absolutely.
Find you on Facebook, so that's
absolutely.
Good. Senate Bill 3572, introduced by State Senator Neil Anderson from the western part of the state of Illinois. This bill would abolish abortion in Illinois. And as you know, Pastor, we have over 90,000 abortions going on, at least in 2024, in the state of Illinois. And those numbers seem to be growing because so many people are coming across the border
absolutely
for abortions.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
what's your thought about this? And
so I firmly believe in the sanctity of innocent human life. I am pro-life because God is pro-life. And so therefore, I am against anything that violates the heart of God. And so abolition of abortion has always been my goal. I've celebrated every abortion victory that we've had in this country.
Yes.
I even celebrated when the Dobbs decision came down.
Yes.
But I knew that would not be enough to end abortion. And in fact, in Illinois, as you know, the Dobbs decision only increased abortion in the state of Illinois because we
doubled it. Yeah.
Right. We became an abortion oasis in the Midwest for states that had abolished it. So I believe that there has to be that extra step. You know, not only to be able to declare abortion as immoral, it needs to be declared unconstitutional, and we need to use the instruments of the Constitution to eliminate it just as they did with slavery. Because as you know, that the Emancipation Proclamation made the Declaration, but it wasn't enough. The 13th Amendment had to establish the personhood of the slave. And then the 14th Amendment had to provide equal protection under the law. And I believe that's what we should do because there's no difference between the slave and the fetus. They both are equal in the sight of God.
You made that connection, which is so vitally important. Abortion, and we know this, disproportionately affects the Black community. You tell this story or this poem about the abortion tree that was kind of a wake-up call for you. Maybe it was the catalyst. that got you going?
Well, absolutely. Well, first of all, absolutely, abortion affects African Americans disproportionately, and it's not by accident, because abortion was directed toward the Black community. My friend, the late great Mark Crutcher, who did Moffa 21, and we often talked about this, but he made the statement, if it wasn't for the problem of dealing with the emancipated slaves after that, when you couldn't send them all back to Africa, and you couldn't just line them up and shoot them all, there was a philosophy that started emerging in the earth about eugenics. And so they tied into that. And so abortion is directed at the Black community, and people like Margaret Sanger's and others, you know, the founders of Planned Parenthood, they targeted Black and people that they saw as inferior. And so we're disproportionately affected, but it's not by mistake. 75% of Planned Parenthood's facilities are located within walking distance of Black and brown communities. We're sold abortions. But to the abortion tree, it was something that God used to really open up my eyes, because it shocked me into a reality. Pastor R.D. Hinton was preaching on Twin Signs of the Times, and he just talked about the violence in the days of Noah, and he contrasted that with the violence in today's society, and he used abortion as an example of that. And so he really explained exactly what abortion was, the intentional killing of a fetus in the womb. But he recited a poem, and the premise was there was a child that had been aborted and was crying out from eternity, asking questions about why this happened to them. And it said, I was hanged on the abortion tree, dead, yes, dead as I could be. Which of you was my mother, and why did you do this to me? I did no harm to anyone. I had no chance to laugh or cry. Yet you, my mother, condemned me and hired a killer for me to die. You had me murdered before I was born, before I could learn to pray, before I could say the words, Dada. You killed me and threw me away. You threw me away like a piece of garbage. Your heart must have been callous and cold. But did you forget, mother dear, that I have an immortal soul? Amen. You blew me away before I was born, when I might have been the one, the only one to care for you and comfort you as my loving mom. No one can predict what the future holds, and who knows what your suffering may be. But I won't be around to help you, mom, because you've hanged me on the abortion tree. Oh. When I heard that, and you can see after 35 years, I still remember it verbatim, it shocked me. And since then, in the spirit realm, the voices of those children have been crying out. 60 million children in America, they're crying out and they're asking, why did you do this to me? Why did you sacrifice me for your own convenience? And I don't know about others, but I still have the capacity to have a broken heart. Oh, and some things still will make me cry. And I've been crying over those children ever since. I'm reminded about a scripture in the Bible where it says, why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Have you also taught the wicked ones your ways? In your skirts are full of blood of the souls of the poor and innocents. God is saying, their blood is in your skirts. It's all over you, these poor, innocent people. And so therefore, no one with a God conscience in them can sit idly by and quietly by and allow this type of horrific child sacrifice to go on unchallenged. It must be abolished.
Amen. And to that point, Pastor, this is not really a political battle, is it? This is a spiritual battle.
It is. It is. Absolutely. Yeah, I talk to people all the time. Abortion is not a political issue. It's a moral issue. It's an issue of morality. And I tell people all the time, just because something is justified in the eyes of the law does not mean that it's justified in the eyes of God. And so this is what we really need to be concerned about. It's not if we're offending the law. Are we offending God? And obviously we are, because we can see the consequences of that kind of offense is that we're not safe anywhere. Children weren't safe in the womb. Okay, you're not safe on the streets. You're not safe in your church. You're not safe in your home. You know, since we don't have any appreciation or respect for the sanctity of life, if you don't respect those lives, then how do you think that God is going to allow you to walk around safely? You see what I'm saying? Absolutely.
Would you say that there's a tie between the violence on the unborn child, the preborn child, and the violence that we're seeing growing in our streets and in our culture?
I would absolutely say without question that they're linked together. You know, I just look at it this way. If you're not safe in the safest environment that you should ever experience, yes. Someone said, and I agree, that the most unsafe place for a black child is in the womb of the mother.
Ouch.
And when I found statistics like at 1 year in New York City, more black children were aborted than they were born.
Whoa.
That blew my mind. Wait a minute, we're killing more than we're bringing to life? You know, years ago, when I first heard the number that 1,452 black children were aborted every day, when I started hearing that, I'm like going, oh my goodness, the children are not safe in the womb. So, you know, when Black Lives Matter and all these other groups came up talking about protect black lives, you know, if you're going to get all upset about 19 or 20 black men being killed by the police, why are you not out in front of the abortion clinics raising holy hell in front of the abortion clinics that's killed 20 million of you legally since 1973?
Well, there's the contrast right there. Holy smokes. So what do you say to your fellow pastors and church leaders? How would you encourage them to get involved in this battle? Because it's a righteous battle.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Dave, I've adjusted my approach to this because when I was first awakened by this and when I first got under the mentorship of Pastor Hiram Crawford Sr., and I got a passion about that, I would run to pastors. I would run to other preachers. I would run to churches and go, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I was totally disappointed when I wasn't seeing the same kind of excitement that came back from me. And I thought about, you know, what Samuel experienced when the children of Israel wasn't listening to him. And he went before God and God said, hey, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. So right now, I try to pray for pastors. You know, I really try to intercede spiritually and say, God, you have to give them awakening just like you awakened me. People can't operate unless they've been awakened. You know, so I'm saying, God, open up the scales. I believe God has done that tremendously over the years. I've seen so much progress in the church, especially in the black church. Our friend Dean Nelson, who's with the Lord now, we worked for years to get into the Church of God in Christ, you know, the nation's largest Pentecostal black congregation. And I remember for years they were slamming the door in my face. And then all of a sudden, 6 years ago, I'm down in St. Louis with a pro-life display in the middle of the Church of God in Christ, where I passed out 500 My Alpha 21 DVDs to pastors.
Good.
And so I believe that God is opening up a door because it's so horrific and it's so out there everywhere now. You have no excuse. You can't say you haven't heard about it. You don't know about it. I tell pastors 3 out of 10 women in your church are post-abortive. Yep. 3 out of 10. And it might be higher than that.
Sure.
And so I'm praying, God, give them an awakening. Let their hearts become aware. Let their eyes be open and their hearts become sensitized to this ongoing tragedy that we're having right now. And I'm trusting God to do that.
Yeah, that's another whole podcast we can do about the post-abortive women who do need to be ministered to. They need to know that there is forgiveness, that Christ is forgiving if you repent.
Yes.
And that's a key thing. Well, listen, thank you for your time. Before we wrap up, I want to make sure I give you a little time to promote your conference that's going to be coming up in August. One of the things that you've been doing is trying to call pastors and churches to get kids out of government schools and into discipleship, either micro schools, home schools, or what have you. And you have a conference coming up, Public School Exit Conference, in August. Can you tell us all about that?
Absolutely. It's going to take place August 14th and 15th. The venue is the Oaklawn Hilton in Oaklawn, Chicago. And the name of the conference, the title is Every Home a School and Every Church an Academy. We believe we need to immediately get our children out of the poisonous, indoctrinated, failing, well, I say failing government system, but it's not failing. It's working exactly as it was designed to do. And it was designed to fail our children. And so we're telling everybody, get your children out. And then we're pointing out to pastors that our number one responsibility is to make disciples. And there's no great opportunity to do that than by making disciples of our children. So we're going to give 50 pastors and their wives free attendance, a free night at the Hilton, a free dinner, and we're going to have some dynamic, powerful speakers, pastors, and other leaders who are going to come, and they're going to speak on the biblical and practical reasons for getting your children out of government schools and getting them into total discipleship training in learning centers, in homes, and in churches. We're going to have experts there to be able to give you the how-tos and the why-tos. And we're also starting what we're calling the Mission Learning Center Project, where we're going to be trying to appeal, asking God to appeal to the hearts of some of the more affluent churches to say, look, we believe in this, and we want to, as a mission project, be able to help fund schools in the inner city. Because our goal is to save our children, to rescue our precious children. We're losing, not only by losing before they're born, but even after they come here, they're still being mistreated in our government schools.
You know, to that point, Caesar, remember Common Core, we had a big push against Common Core curriculum. And Dr. Duke Pesta put it this way. He said, the whole goal between Common Core is not that your kids excel, but they all become common.
Absolutely.
Pawns in the state. And so, again, there's a higher calling, as Caesar just said, to disciple our children in the faith, because there's nothing more important. So please watch illinoisfamily.org/events. We're going to have some information going up there soon about this great conference that you do not want to miss. And if you can't join us, please pray for this and connect with Caesar, because he's got really good information that needs to be heard by all Christian pastors and church leaders. With that said, Caesar, thank you so much for spending the time with me today. I really appreciate and admire your leadership. God bless you, sir.
God bless you, brother. Thank you.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.